I am such a fangirl of this choreographer, and I'm so excited to say hello, good morning.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
Sup, posse?
All right, you guys, welcome to another episode of To The Point with Kristen Burt, presented by Dance Network here on Popcorn Talk. You guys, I got to tell you, we probably should have started like with our interview out in the hallway because he and I, Luther Brown and I, have been having a really good time. You guys know him from So You Think You Can Dance, and he's up to so many fascinating projects that he's going to tell us right here today. I'd like to say hello to Luther Brown.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
We are amped. We have to say, I told him the top 10. Don't tell anyone. We can't talk about who the top 10 is, but we were just saying you were really excited by the cast in general.
Yeah, my brain's already going through 25 things because the setup is crazy. The setup is crazy. It's going to be an awesome show.
It really is, and I keep trying to tell the fans, I'm like, I can't tell you who it is, but I promise you this cast will deliver.
Yeah, everybody has, and everyone's a performer too.
They know what they're doing.
Everyone's a performer. I already know I'm like this. You know, I'm going to send the praises up so I can get who I want. Come on now. Come on. If I get that crew, it's done.
Yeah, I already know.
There's certain ones I'm like, let me get that.
I've been teasing everyone saying that there are some superstar pairings, and I'm like, and you can confirm that. At least we can't confirm the names, but we can confirm that there are superstar pairings. I know.
Nah, it's crazy because the certain names that are on there, I mean, I saw the show too, so I saw some of the auditions, and it's just like it's like endless. I don't know, the choreographers that get to work with these guys this season, your brain it's gonna be great because you get to do whatever you want, like they're that good.
The talent level is
that good that everyone's gonna enjoy who they get.
Well, that's what I'm looking forward to. I think, last season was amazing. We'll get into that a little bit. But it was just a different feel because it's kids and there's certain things you can do with kids and certain things you cannot. So.
Right.
But, you know, I'm so excited that you are here. I'm such a fangirl. I'm like, I was like, I hope I keep it together because one of my favorite all-time routines is Hello, Good Morning with Twitch Infection. So I've watched it, honestly, 25, 30, maybe 40 times. So, and I was watching a couple more times just to get, you know, in the Luther, like, brown vein, get ready for the interview. So, but, you know, I think this show, we love to, like, kind of, like, go back to the beginning and really find out more about you and how you got your start. Because I know you were born in Jamaica and then raised in Canada.
Yes.
So that's kind of, like, an interesting, difference one between the other.
You know, I mean, the transition from Jamaica. I left Jamaica when I was in grade 4. So I lived there. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like I was there and I left at 2 years old or something.
Right.
I grew up there.
It was in you.
It was in me, you know? And moved to Toronto. And it's funny because my cousins were breakdancing and doing stuff like that in Jamaica. And growing up in Jamaica, it's a lot of musicals and stuff on TV. So I just kind of always, there's something that attracted me to the whole big movie dance movie thing, you know, the whole musical life. So when I went to Canada and got introduced to hip-hop and R&B, it was just kind of what it was.
Now, is it your dad that has the musical background?
Yes, my dad is, right now he's a superintendent for school board. But my dad was a radio DJ. He also worked with EBS, which is kind of like NBC.
Yep.
But back in the day, Jamaica. So he was into all the music. He was him and Bob Marley and Toots and they were all friends and stuff. So he was in it. He was in the music scene the whole time I was growing up.
Well, I think that's really interesting too because I never feel like musicality can be taught. It's like in you, and you were around so much music, different rhythms and everything else. I think it explains a lot about your choreography, because which I love, and I think that's what I love about your choreography is that it's always unexpected moves and unexpected beats, which I really appreciate.
Right, I appreciate that. No, it's growing up in Jamaica, there's a thing. Our culture is very. We have our dance is a part of our culture, so. It's like there's a different dance move every other day. There's 500 new dances every week. But the whole culture, everybody knows it. So we're like a groovy culture. It sounds corny, but
that's
just
good though.
We're just groovy all day. So, you know, everybody has a little sauce in the movement. That's period.
Cute. Yeah.
So it's. I see it now. I mean, now, you know, you're older, you can put it together more, but I realize that's why I like those little grooves and I know how to throw it in and out of different pockets because culturally that's what we do.
Now, we're obviously in Jamaica, you're dancing, you're listening to a lot of music because it's a part of the culture, but yeah. Are you taking any sort of trained dance classes? Are you with a crew at all?
Training. What? I trained with? I trained with watching, when I got to Canada, watching Michael Jackson on TV or watching Bobby Brown. I wanted to be Bobby. I knew I was Bobby Brown. You know what I'm saying? I was doing those steps, teaching my friends at the bus stop, you know? But there was no dance class. I never took a dance class.
And I think what a lot of people, if you didn't grow up in the 80s, I think what a lot of people don't realize is that, especially with Michael Jackson, he introduced an entire generation.
Yeah.
And this was also when MTV really broke through. Yeah. Everyone was running home from school, mm-hmm. watching the videos. We knew every dance. We knew every move. And Michael Jackson was for everyone. He wasn't for the people that like this type of music or people that like this type of music.
Everybody.
He was everybody's musician.
Everybody's champion. That's it. But those were the days. Those were the days. Like, all my inspiration came from things on TV. And being that I was, you know, I was in the hood, so there wasn't really a lot of dance courses and dance studios. The first dance studio I actually, which is the funniest thing, the first time I was ever in an actual dance studio was on my first job in New York. Like, after, like, went to university. Like, I went to New York. I was doing, it's a video, Cameron and Mays Horse and Carriage, old school video. And I had to do an audition. I didn't even know what an audition was. Because I don't know the terms.
Did you have a headshot and resume? You're
right.
Like, nope.
Right. I was on that Greyhound bus with my homie. I had my headphones, you know what I'm saying, making up the routine on the bus.
Yep.
Got off the thing, went to the train station, went to rehearsal, and I had to teach all these people that I watched on TV growing up, and that tripped me out. But that was the first time we walked into Musical Theater Works, and I was like, whoa, like, what are you doing? All these mirrors, and we didn't know anything about mirrors. It was... Back in the day, we used to rehearse outside of medical buildings and pharmacies that had the window screen.
And that wherever was our you could window. Find a space, right?
Yeah. Like, that was just what it was for us. Basketball courts, whatever space we can get, pull up on the curb and play the music from your car.
And people, if you're not from New York, Musical Theater Works is one of the legendary Broadway spaces for auditions, rehearsals, everything. So pretty much everyone has walked through those hallowed halls.
Yes. And for that to be my first experience in a dance studio was ridiculous.
You go big.
I was like, whoa. But it was what it was. It was amazing. And that's what started everything a certain way.
Did that sort of, was that your first like big job where you're like, this is breaking me through to
in America? Yeah, because in Toronto, I a lot of my friends happened to be a lot of the artists that were top of all the Toronto scenarios, and they knew I had my dance crew. I had a dance crew called Do That. It was like 20 superstars. Tinsha Scott. A lot of people that are choreographers now.
Oh, I love that.
They were all my crew, you know? And so people knew me from that. And I ended up choreographing a lot of videos and tours and stuff in Toronto. But at that point, I still didn't know I was a choreographer. I was just a dude that had a dance crew that was putting steps to these people's music and stuff like that. And then word of mouth traveled and New York, and then hence that's how I got to go to New York to go through that.
Here's the interesting thing, because, you know, I trained as a dancer, but I always knew I was never a choreographer. I knew it. It wasn't in me. It wasn't something that I was interested in. When did you know you were a choreographer?
Well, when I knew see, this is the thing. This is what the tricky part is. I didn't know I was a choreographer until probably my third or fourth artist in New York.
Wow.
Because I didn't know the term.
Right.
We didn't know the term. We just knew Bobby Brown had dancers. Those are the dancers. We didn't even know, oh, the choreographer taught that or so-and-so. We didn't know any of those things. So I just thought I was the team captain. That's what I didn't know.
Yeah, I'm the leader.
You know, but when did I know I was that guy? I think probably after my third dance crew when I realized I always was the one teaching it and making it up and putting it together, I was like, oh, because I'm the one that's doing that.
And it has a name. It has a job title.
But the name for us in the hood, it was like manager. You're the manager, or you're the leader, or you're the team leader.
You're the guy.
You know what I'm saying? We didn't really know what the thing. That's crazy.
It is crazy. But, you know, a lot of people didn't know the term choreographer until even So You Think You Can Dance really came to the forefront, which is kind of amazing.
It kind of educates a lot of people because it really it opens you up to the real industry and what's really happening and how you do it. That's the first time I learned how to teach counts and actually know how to count and actually know how to phrase certain things. And I mean, as you go on, you learn those things. But it was a crash course for me the whole way. I had nobody guiding me. It was just, you know, we do it.
Yeah, because a lot of times when you see the contemporary dancers, if they want to choreograph, they're mentored by someone else that's a generation ahead, and then they follow in their footsteps and things like that and assist them.
Right.
You're just, like, on the job learning.
On the job learning. The entire way.
That's incredible.
The entire way. When I met Lorianne Gibson in New York, and that's when we started to work together. She was like, you know, anything I have that's hip-hop based or anything in that arena, you got to be the one. And so I started working with her. She would call me in to do stuff with her. And that kind of introduced me on a bigger level.
How did you meet Lorianne? Because Lorianne Gibson is huge. She's worked with everybody in the industry.
How did I meet Lorianne? I met Lorianne. A lot of the people that I trained danced with her and danced for her. And they were always like, Lou, you need to meet her. And they were saying the same thing to her. Oh, you need to meet him. And I was from Toronto. I didn't know she was from Toronto at that time. And so everyone was like, yo, how do you not know Lorianne? How do you guys not know each other? And one day I picked up my friend from one of her rehearsals. And me and her had a conversation. She was like, yo, everyone keeps telling me about you. And da-da-da-da-da. And then she saw my stuff. And it was just like that.
That's incredible.
And then we kind of teamed up. Because we both do our own things, you know. But it was whenever we came together on projects, we kind of
worked your magic.
Yeah, we created so many iconic moments.
What's your most iconic moment with Lorianne Gibson, do you think? Is there one moment you're like, I love this so much?
You know what? Okay, there's probably two.
Okay, well, I want both.
I'm going to say, because the first movie I got to choreograph was Honey, and that was with her. And so we did that whole scenario.
Jessica Alba.
That was so cool. To work with her every day, she was so hungry. Anyway, that's a whole nother movie. But so I would say Honey, and I would probably say, it's a tie between
I Want Them
Puff
All.
Daddy or Alicia Keys. We've done so many things together for so many years. A lot of people don't even know. You know, I mean, people that are in the industry know, dancers know,
of course,
choreographers know. But the world probably doesn't really know.
That's why you're here to tell us.
Right. I'm thinking probably my first Grammys, Alicia Keys, the first time we had her dancing. And she did Woman's Worth, and then she did the remix. And we had the guy come in from South America, and the first time they did a duet, and it was a whole big thing. So that was probably... That was one of the coolest moments, I think, when I'm thinking back.
You know, I'm from a small town in Massachusetts, and I've worked award shows, and the small town in me is always like, I can't believe I'm here at the Oscars or wherever. Yes. What was your first moment like at the Grammys when you're thinking, I'm a kid from Jamaica. What am I doing here?
It was tripping me out. It was tripping me out because I was in there, and a lot of my favorite artists were performing in the same show. So you had Mary J. Blige, you had, you know, NSYNC, you had da-da-da-da. It was everybody in the same show, and I was there like... Whoa, this is the Grammy stage. I'm actually on the stage. I think I took a picture on the stage. I think I snuck in and was watching a couple people do their techs. No, it was a full circle for me. Yeah. You know, I love this whole industry in a certain way, so I watched all these shows. So to actually be in there and working with one of the top artists too, you know what I'm saying, in there doing that was a trip.
Because you're at the table. You're at the table with all the people you want to work with.
Yeah, so It was pretty good.
That's amazing. Yeah. Now, when did you were in New York working? When did you make the move to Los Angeles?
I was going back and forth from New York to LA, New York, LA, Toronto, New York, LA, Toronto. And I'm trying to remember what made me come out here. I feel like I did this Nike campaign in Europe. It was with Sophia. It was with all these. It was amazing Nike campaign.
It's all on YouTube too. You can see.
Yeah,
it.
Like we shot these three videos, three commercials in one. And MSA, I was at MSA at the time, and they were just like, "Lou, what are you doing? It's like, are you scared to come to LA? Why do you not want to come out here?" And I was just like, because I think I was comfortable. I had a whole industry in Toronto on lockdown. Yeah. So I was doing everything there. And I was coming to New York and doing things here and traveling back and forth to LA. And it just made sense. I was just like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
You know, all the work that I'm trying to do is there. And I've already done everything here. So what am I doing?
It's time to challenge yourself on another level.
And then and be uncomfortable with it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I moved out to LA, and it's funny, then I moved out here, and then that's when I worked with Janet for the first time. And that was my first Janet experience. And that was like, is this what happens when you make yourself uncomfortable? You get somewhere and then
you get
things just start to happen, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, that's a big one. And I think I talk with so many dancers, and for many of them, working with Janet Jackson is, and I would say Beyonce probably is also another artist uh-huh. that people really, really want to work for, just because they're so iconic, they're professional. They, for dancers, it's one of the greatest jobs. What was it like for you working with Janet for the first time?
You know what? The first, I was scared.
I would be.
Scared, nervous. You gotta understand, her Control album was the first album I bought with my lunch money in high school. Like, you know, you save up them coins, you know?
What have you done for me lately?
Come on now.
Yeah.
You know, and so to be in the room with her, which was scary because I was in a room and I was supposed to teach her something. And I was making it up with my friend Ed, and I was teaching him. And she walked in, and my heart went out the window. But I can't show that, so I'm real cool up here. But inside, I'm losing my mind. And she sat in the corner and watched. She's watching me the whole time. She didn't say anything. And I was like, "Ooh, she hates everything. I'm doing everything. She's hating it. She hates this. She hates that." And my boy was just like, "Yo, just do what you do, bro. Like, stop thinking about it. You're overthinking it. Like, you're trying to make it the perfect Janet routine. Just do what you do." And I started doing this thing that I was at Debbie Allen's camp, and it was with me and a lot of the Crumpers, and it was kind of new at the time, and there was a hyphy movement that was happening, this bay movement, and there's this step, they were doing these things with their shoulders, and it inspired me, and I remember, you know, as a Jamaican, we do stuff with our shoulders too.
Yeah.
So anyway, I took this, I kind of just got this vibe and started doing this thing, and I, at the corner of my eye, I saw her in the corner doing the shoulder thing too, and I was like, yes. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I got to Janet.
And then she came over and she asked me how to do it, and I was teaching her, and then that was it. And then that was what sealed it.
Were you working on a particular tour?
It was, she had just released, I think Feedback had just come out.
Okay.
And she was doing a performance for the Army base in San Diego.
Oh, okay.
And
Camp Pendleton.
Yes. Yeah. And so we had to do this. She had to do this performance, and for the type of record and the vibe that they needed, you know, Gil reached out to me and I came through. And then, so that's what I was brought on to do, that one song.
Wow.
And so then I came through, I did this song, and then I didn't even think I was going to get to go to the show. And she was like, "Are you coming to the show tomorrow?" And I was like, she asked me to come to the show, you know? And I was like, I wanted to go so bad, but I didn't want to ask. And she said, "Yo, you should come to the show." And then we went to the show, did the show, and then she took us to eat after, and it was a whole moment. And so
I would have been dying inside. Like, oh my gosh, like Janet Jackson just invited me to the show and now I'm going out to dinner with her.
Yo, no, it tripped me. But so then we leave the show and we met at this little club thing first. I can't remember, was it club thing first? Anyway, we went to this club thing and then we're going to go eat or whatever. Or it might be the other way around. Whatever it was, we were in there and I got there a little later. So all the dancers were at this table. This big table, and it was all full. And the only chair left was at her table. And I was like, no, I'm not going to have to sit at the table. Like, that's the most awkward thing in the planet. Because it was her, the makeup artist, the Gail.
Her team.
Yeah. And then all the dancers, all my friends were at the other table. And I was like, how's this going to work? And so I had to sit at her table. And then I was like, You know what I'm saying?
I would have been like, I'm at Janet Jackson's lunch table.
No, in my mind, losing my entire mind.
I'd be losing my lunch, honestly. Like,
and then they were trying to order, and I'm allergic to shellfish, and it just happened to be a seafood spot, too. So I was just like, what's my luck? And she was like, oh, you don't eat that? I'll get you this. She ordered everything else for me, and I was just like, whoa. Like, she's cool. And then she's like, someone said, yo, Lou, you should show her the footage, because I always tape rehearsals and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so she was like, yo, let me see your thing. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm showing her rehearsal on my phone. And it was just crazy. It was just a good, it was
so great.
It was a good time.
And that wasn't the only time you worked for her, of course.
That was the first time. Yeah. And then the most recent time, cause then I ended up doing some stuff for that tour.
Right.
They, had a couple numbers in the tour, but then, when she came back with the Unbreakable album, I got brought in to start training her hip hop, and it was the first time she has danced in 7 years or something like that.
That's amazing.
And I was, you know, the last time I remembered working with her, it was a good time, but it was nerve wracking because I was like, whoa, this is the first time I'm in at the beginning of the project,
right?
To actually like teach her stuff. I was like, yo, I'm teaching her stuff. And she wanted to learn what I would teach in class. She was just like, yo, I want to learn what he did in class. Like, whatever. I want him to teach you what he wants to teach me. And I was just like, whoa, talk about the pressure. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of pressure.
The pressure. And it's just me and her. And then Gil was in there. He's like, I'm going to learn it too with her. You know, so it's comfortable for everybody. And she came in and it was good that she remembered me, which was made my heart a lot better, you know?
Well, I think what it proves, though, these... like superstars, like the level that the Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson, mm-hmm. Beyonce, these people that reach the upper echelons of success, they're constant students. And I think mm-hmm. you're pointing something out. She's asking you to go back to basics of what she can learn as a student in a classroom setting. Because people just think like, I'm going to become famous and it's, you know, I'm going to do this great album. It's going to go platinum and then I can just relax.
No.
That's not what happens.
Mm-mm, mm-mm. Not with the real ones, you know? And she was really like for real focused. Like she was in there every day, and it was just us in the studio in New York. And we would just, I would just teach her stuff, and she would learn it, and she would get mad if she doesn't get it right or if she doesn't do it right. Like she's run us, you know. It's a trip, and she was never made me feel crazy at all ever, and it was a good time. And so we did that, and then went on to do the tour. Which is about to start back.
Yes, because she had her baby boy.
She had her baby boy.
So that's exciting.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, but she's ready to come back and eat. So I'm sure it's going to be a whole nother movie.
Oh, that's so exciting. Are you going to be going back to this?
I don't say too many things, but I mean, most. You know what I'm saying? It's got to finish back. We got to finish what we started.
What we started, exactly. So it's when she's ready. Maybe we'll get a phone call.
And it's going to be everything will be everything.
And you'll see that cute little baby.
Yo, and see her smile. Her smile is the smile of life, by the way. She comes in that room and smiles and everybody's
lights
like.
Lights up the room.
Yeah, dun-da-da.
Were you ever able to work with Michael before he passed away?
Never. Never. You know, that's, yeah, it's crazy. Never got to work with Michael.
Yeah, that breaks my heart. You know, it's just, it's hard to believe that, you know, we are at what, like 8 years since it happened and coming up this July. And it's still like, it's just one of those tragedies that you're just like.
You're never going to really get over that.
No. It's
such
hard.
An impact, man. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I think like what people don't realize, if you were, you know, born after the huge Michael Jackson era, like the impact that he made, not only on the Motown sound, but then on the MTV generation, it's something that'll always stick in the back of my mind because, you know, later it was harder because there was like tabloids and everything else and the paparazzi, just different influences of who Michael Jackson was. But the core of who he was as an artist is something that is, it's an incredible legacy.
Yeah. Never going to live that down. It's just what it is, you know?
I can listen to Off the Wall all day.
All day long.
Yes. In my head, I'm dancing just like him, but I know it doesn't look like that. But
why is that, though? Everyone feels like that because he gets you so much that you feel like you can do it. And everybody does it.
Yes, it's true. Like, I feel like I can moonwalk like him, and I feel like I've got his little, like, leg thing down.
Yes.
And when you videotape it, it looks nothing like
nothing
that.
Like it, but it felt like it. And that's what matters.
Yes, that's exactly. That's what, in my soul.
That's what matters. All day. Yeah.
It's true. And very few artists make you feel that way. And I think that that's the legacy that he leaves behind. I'd love to know, you know, we've been talking before we got on air about So You Think You Can Dance, but you started on So You Think You Can Dance Canada before the U.S. version.
Yeah. I was a judge and choreographer on that.
How did that come around for you?
It came around after when I moved into my first real apartment out here. And I was like, okay, Canada, love to love you, but now I'm here.
Bye.
And then I get an email, hey, so we're doing the show in Canada. You think you want to, could you come up here and maybe audition for one of the roles, maybe as a judge or a carver? And I was like, whoa. And then they flew me up. I did the audition. They kind of placed us around with 100 different people. And then I got the job. And then it was, so we're going to have you back in Canada for 4 months of the year. And I was like, of course this happens when I leave. But it was perfect.
Yes.
It was perfect. It was probably four of my greatest years.
Ooh.
Just experiences and exposure and learning, you know, because people don't know as a choreographer on the show, it's a game for you too. Like, it's a lot that goes behind it. And it's a lot of, you don't really know who you get until you get them. And then you have 2 minutes to make it hot. And you have to do it in front of everybody on TV. And it has to be right and perfect. You know?
You know, I've had talked with Spencer Lift quite a bit. And he's like, you know, in your head, you've created this number. And then you get to the studio and they're like, this is who you have. And you're like, they might not be, you know, trained in Broadway or trained in hip hop. And you're like, I have to alter this a little bit. But he's like, you still have to keep the core of what you created because you are not just doing movement. You're doing wardrobe and you're doing lighting. And
everything. And if everything doesn't come together right, the person that looks whack is you.
That's right.
And a lot of people don't understand that. And the pressure is crazy, you know. And it takes a certain skill or a certain amount of experience to be able to know when to abandon ship with certain things that you see in your head, but still have the integrity of what you want. It takes a while to get that. So that's why a lot of new choreographers come on the show and they're like, woo, we're doing the show. And then you talk to them after and they're like, whoa, that was crazy. How do y'all do this every week? You know? But it's really, it forces you to learn how to make decisions fast and look at what you do and be objective quickly. You know what I'm saying?
And go with your gut instinct.
And go with your gut.
Yeah.
And I know how to see what they have and see what you have and see how to make the best of both worlds, because you got to make them look good. It's not about you, even though it is about you, but it's not.
Well, and the interesting balance on So You Think, and I'm sure this was also in Canada, but Nigel will call out choreographers if he feels like the movement failed the contestants or the overall concept. And he will call people out on it. It's not like you're never going to be back on the show, but he'll say, you know, not your best work. And we don't go to work every single day and we're at our best. So I do think it's interesting, but I think it keeps all of you guys, like, I have to go in here and I have to give my A game. Like, my A hat's, I'm wearing it.
Yeah.
Can't give my C hat today.
Even if you have a C plate in front of you.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? Because people don't, but this is where your skill, you have to prove yourself. You have to show people that you know what you're doing.
Right. And how are you, if when you have that contestant that can't do hip hop, how do you bring out the best in them and work with what they have and what they can do? How do you
make them feel and make them feel comfortable doing it? Because they have to feel comfortable too, or it's still going to go down in flames.
Well, and this brings up a good point, because I remember in season 11, you had Carly and Serge, and he talked about this openly. He said, I had such a hard time learning one of Lou's pieces. And he was just like, I did 12 hours rehearsal and then I'd go home and I'd lock myself in the room and I'd do it over and over again because it wasn't natural movement to him.
Yeah.
And he did his best out there. But then Nigel gets out there and he's like, well.
Yeah, Nigel came for him, but really he did a good job. He actually didn't do as bad as Nigel made him sound like
he did.
He did a great job.
And you saw the progress too.
Of course. And I saw it. And it's funny because ever since that episode, Serge and I had been friends the whole time. Like we became friends after, not became friends, but we've been in touch the whole time, because that's been a bond
And you know what? It's very clear if you watch any of the interviews that Serge did after that number, he has a clear respect for you as a choreographer, and he had a clear respect for the movement that you created. It was challenging for him, but he was like, I'm going to do my best to make you look good too. You know?
No, and I appreciate it. I appreciate it from him a lot because it was a tough one, and she was killing it.
Carly was
And
good.
So it was making it, it was even more pressure for him because he's like, you know, I can't go down. Carly's killing it. And he's a macho guy too, you know? Yep. So he has to figure it out. But I was proud of him. He figured it out.
Yeah, that's amazing.
He figured it out.
Yeah, and that's what you have to do as a contestant. You have to roll with it because every week's different. And the longer you're in the game, the more tired you are. Yeah. The injuries
And the
come
more
up.
That they expect from you.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Where's that improvement? That's what they're looking for. They're like, you know, you can't be at your week one level if you're in week six.
Exactly. Or it's get out of here.
Now, how much do you, and I always think that this is interesting because we've had a lot of choreographers in here and rehearsal sort of etiquette, rehearsal demeanor for the contestants. I hear, it comes back to me like, so-and-so was a little lazy in rehearsal. So-and-so gives 110%.
No.
Do you hear from other choreographers like, watch out for this one. This one you're going to love.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all human. And that's something for everyone to know, period, about this industry. People talk. So how you were in a rehearsal for somebody else last week on a job, I might hear about it before you even get into my room. So it's the same thing on the show, you know? Because we all sit down and we all know the struggle. The struggle is real. So we'd be like, yo, so how was it last week? Oh, or even if we don't ask about it, somebody might be like, yo, they're killing me. Or so-and-so, you know, da-da-da, or yo, so-and-so's great. Or she might not have to step, but so-and-so's great. So the energy, you kind of get a little feedback before you even get in.
So this is just a little word to the wise to season 14 contestants.
Be nice.
Be nice. Do your best.
Do your best for real. And good energy. Because when we walk in there, and we walk into bad energy or lazy energy or whatever that is, it sets the tone.
Yeah, and you guys don't have a lot of time with them either.
No.
To set that piece.
Yo, we have no time. People think we have all this time. We have no time.
It's like 4 hours for the first rehearsal, right? And then it's just...
Yeah, but not even 4 full hours because it's you're being interviewed. Mm-hmm. It's lighting setups and stuff. So it's that 3 hours that you thought you had is really an hour and a half. But that's an hour and a half of you teaching, but also teaching for the camera. And they're not even in full learn mode in a certain way because they know they're being taped too.
Yeah.
So it's a whole thing, you know? Yes, it's tough.
It is tough.
It's tough.
And for you too, like as a choreographer, you know, if you're choreographing for Janet for the stage, you know, for a concert, it's one thing. And then if you're choreographing for So You Think,
of course,
totally different.
It's a whole new movie.
Yeah,
it's a whole new movie. But those things for real set you up for doing the Janets and the J-Los and the, you know what I'm saying, Puff Daddies. And I mean, with that one, you got to learn, you know, I learned so much from that one. Puff Daddy, you know? But the whole pressure of the 2 minute, you have 2 minutes to get that hot.
And that's it. Because these dances are so short.
That's it. And you have to make that work. And so, yeah, that's what's up.
One of my favorite pieces, and I have to ask, because it's like the fangirl in me, like I said, I've watched it multiple times, 25, 30, 40. I don't even know. But when you have a Twitch and when you have a Fiction together, that, I mean, you know that's going to be magic going in.
Yeah.
And you probably could have done, you did any whatever you wanted to do with them, you could.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's a trip because, you know, like, you know you have those two. And at that point, Fiction was getting better.
Yes.
Because Fiction started off, he started off great, but he was growing.
He was young, too.
He was so young, and he was so green, and he had so much pressure on him that people thought, oh, he's a great performer. He got it. But he was really stressing out. Anyway, by the time I got him again, because I had him for the first episode, and then I had him again with Twitch. But then by the time we got together with Twitch, Fiction and I have already had a repertoire, you know, between us. And Twitch is Twitch, and we've worked together before.
So great.
Twitch is the man.
Yeah.
And
we got a photo up there too.
Come on, isn't that a good one? Come on, it was good, and I think we had fun.
Yeah,
we had fun because I mean I love that record, and I was like, guys, I just want us to groove and have fun. We just got to make this fun, and y'all, and I want to show how the both of you guys play off of each other, you know, because they really do have a good chemistry.
They've got a great chemistry.
Yeah, it's
and I
crazy.
Think that's what makes it so much fun to watch when they're like doing like this move with their feet. I can't do it because you guys can't see my feet. But there's that, and there's like this. There's so many moments in my head, or like at the end, the little
move life, you know.
I mean, seriously, like it makes me so happy. And this is what makes me a fangirl of your work, that I go back to certain moments and go, I just want to watch that again. I want to watch that again. And it is. It's one of those dances that we'll always remember on So You Think.
I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm happy about that.
I love that.
Yeah.
How about last season working with the kids? Different. It was different for everyone.
Yeah.
We were all just kind of, even as a reporter backstage, it was one of those things that I had to be like, okay, what am I going to ask kids every single week, you know? And they were so cute and so sweet and so motivated. I think it surprised everyone. But again, there's some limitations too.
You know what? It's going into it, I didn't know if I wanted to go into it. Because I was like, ooh, the pressure's already crazy with the grown-ups. What the hell's going to happen with these kids? You know what I'm saying? But thankfully, the kids that I got to work with, they're like little grown-ups.
Yes.
They're little grown-ups. And so they approached it. They learned as fast as the grown-ups. They were quick.
They were super quick.
They were super quick and super focused. They all wanted to be stars. Each one wanted to be a star. They had a hunger that I was like, it actually revitalized me a little bit in a weird way, because they're so new and hungry and they wanna show off, and they're like, let's do it. I wanna learn everything. I wanna do it like exactly like that. Let's go.
Yeah.
And so that pushes you too. So I actually had a lot of fun with the kids.
And I think you worked with Shaden, Tahani, Keita.
Yep.
Did you know Keita was gonna win after working with him?
I knew it because he has this. I just got chills. It's crazy.
Yeah.
He has this. It's this star quality in him, and it's real, and he's humble, but he's such a show off.
Yeah.
But how are you a show off, but you're humble? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like it was confidence without being cocky in a way. And he's this tall.
And now he's this tall.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, and he was really professional. He was on time. He was about it. His energy was good the whole time. And I was just like, this little boy's a star. He's going to get it. Because he did everybody's, even the things that no one thought he could do or he was going to do good in, he performed the hell out of it.
Yeah.
What are you going to say?
You know, and too, at that age, you know, when you're like 13, 14, you have oftentimes you're awkward and you just sit there and you're self-aware, but in a way that you're like, I don't want people to see me do contemporary maybe,
right.
Or, you know, because like I'm a hip hop guy or whatever. I think the greatest thing about Keita, and I noticed this all last summer, he already knew who he was and he felt good about who he was.
And he wasn't scared of who he was.
Exactly.
And he wasn't scared to do other things knowing who he was.
Absolutely. And I've seen him a lot throughout this year. I've run into him in a lot of dance events, and his mom, the family is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He's respectful. He's polite. I love talking with him.
I tell you, he's a little star.
He is a star.
He's a little movie star. I see him everywhere. I'm like, this boy is Arnold. He's the new Arnold. If he had a different strokes now, he'd be on it. And
he's
it.
Choreographing. Like he's got it. He's got everything early. He's got all the tools. So as long as he just like kind of stays focused and enjoys it.
Yeah.
I'm so
all
happy.
All day. I see him all the way up there.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah,
he was one of my favorites, actually. And I think a lot of people thought, how did he win when you had Tate, who was, you know, Tate McRae was amazing.
Oh, no, Tate's
She's
incredible.
She's a superstar, too.
No, Tate's incredible. But that boy, Keita, is just something special, man. And then his story, too, was special. So
amazing.
you can't come from that story with that passion and be surprised that he's there.
Absolutely. And
you know?
I think his mom has done a really incredible job raising
awesome.
Kids alone.
And she's great.
She's awesome.
She's
I love her.
Because, you know, we meet a lot of parents.
Yes. We
meet a lot of parents.
You've seen
Not
a lot.
Not even just on the show, just period.
You teach a lot, so, yeah.
And it could be, it's a lot of craziness out there. But his mom is real underground.
Grounded.
Firm, underground.
Level-headed.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole family is fantastic. Well, you're talking about teaching, and you do a lot of teaching out there.
Yeah.
And dance has changed tremendously. Like, I think back what dance looked like when I was, you know, out there as a student and then out there professionally. So different. Mm-hmm. What do you see that's great about students in class, and what do you say might need to be improved?
I think off the top, I think the new generation, they learn quicker. I think because a lot, there's dance studios are so much more popular now, mm-hmm. and conventions are more popular. When I was coming up, we didn't, there were no conventions for me to see Swoop or certain people that were
World
that,
of Dance
that inspired
Tour.
Me. You know what
World
I mean?
World of Dance Tour is
like
amazing.
Between World of Dance and then Monsters of Hip Hop and, yep. and even the Pulse, the different ones, it allows kids to firsthand learn from people, mm-hmm. and they learn in a room of 500 kids. So a lot of kids just off the top know how to learn faster. So this new generation, the kids are quicker. They know how to emulate what you're doing faster. Mm-hmm. The thing is, because it's such a machine and everyone learns how to do these things fast, and the internet and YouTube and everyone's a star, like individuals, there's not a lot of performers out there. There's not a lot of individual superstars. Where I think back in the day, I hate saying back in the day, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, back in the day.
Back in the day.
Just back in the day.
Like people, you had to be a performer to make it, mm-hmm. you know? And because classes weren't coming around to you, you had to stand out. So people just wanted to be, people had more individual personality back then. Where now, sometimes it's like a room full of robots. Yeah. They all learn fast and everyone is quick, but everyone looks like everybody.
Yeah, you're looking for that performer that catches your eye.
Yeah, and have that individual style and certain thing about them. But there's so much 500 of the same person out there. It makes it hard to find stars.
And I think trying to tell a kid, like, you don't have to be technically perfect. Like, a little messy is actually okay because yeah. something beautiful can come out of it. And if we see that sparkle, you're like, yes, that.
Yeah, because that's what grabs the camera sometimes, mm-hmm. you know? Sometimes it's not the one that did that was perfectly, the technique was perfect and, oh, they did the step right. The camera catches the person that has the vibe, that has the look, that has the energy. So I think kids need to work on their personality.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, where So You Think comes in really well. You know, we always say it's America's favorite dancer. It's not America's best dancer. Because we can go through the list of probably the best technical trained dancer.
Of course.
In most cases, maybe Ricky Ubeda is probably the one major exception to this rule. Right. But usually it's someone else that had a little something mm-hmm. else from way
had
deep inside.
A special sauce, you know?
Yeah. It's so interesting.
Yeah.
Now, I know you're working on a lot of new projects, and you were like,
yes.
I gotta tell you about this.
Oh my
God. What
gosh.
Is it?
Yes. So, you know, I've written music for a long time. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't really know that. I had developed an artist, we signed a Capitol Records, it's a whole scenario. But I haven't done it in a while, and I recently, between J-Lo and Puff, mm-hmm. Music got me again, and I ended up working on this project, which is now this thing called the Downbeat. It's like my mixtape. It's like DJ Khaled got a record out. I have a record out, but I'm featuring a lot of friends and talented people that happened to be, which it didn't start out to be like this, but it happened to be, you know, major choreographers or major dancers that people either knew were talented in music or didn't know.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so, you know, I just started off doing this because I was like, yo, can I write music again? Do I know how to write it? Mm-hmm. And I started writing music, and I would call friends in to be like, hey, I got this song, and I just need a girl's voice. Could you come in here, and maybe I can get you to do this, and you can learn this? And they came in and learned it, and they were all my friends from all different parts of the industry, you know? So turned out, you know, you have, like, a Paris come over here. You have a Matt Cady over here. You have, Lorianne Gibson, a Gil. Oh,
yeah.
You have... you know, Dom, you have Johnny, you have all these different people that came in, and it turned out to be like a compilation of amazing records that are now a part of my project that's actually going to be available. People can buy it on iTunes and everything. I dropped one single already with Dom, but it's it turned out to be a movie, and I ended up directing all the videos for it.
Oh, so cool.
Like for real videos, like real music, real videos, and it shows all these dancers and these choreographers on a whole nother level. Because you didn't know that they were artists, and a lot of dancers and choreographers are artists. Mm-hmm. I mean, Paula Abdul,
Triple Threats, and
you know what I'm saying. You're looking at J-Lo, you're looking at, you know, Puff Daddy. There's a lot of people that started off as dancers mm-hmm. that nobody realized had that gift. So it was actually cool for me to see pull certain things out of certain friends that have. That's like incredible.
So if you directed all the videos, are they available or are you going to do it?
I'm dropping them individually. I was going to do the whole one time thing, but this world is too fast.
You weren't going to do a Beyonce like at midnight, something's happening and the beehive all comes out.
Nah.
what's your fan group called? We have to start. You guys on Twitter, think of a fan group for Lou because.
Come on.
We need something like the beehive, but you know.
Come on, let's find it for Lou Brown. Let's find it. No, but for real though, it's pretty impressive when you listen to it and you hear what everybody's doing and what they sound like and you see them in another light. You see them as artists outside of just being dancers or just being choreographers.
Well, and working the music and then creating the visual for it, how did it inspire you? Did it change your ideas
of
movement as a director? What?
It gave me so much life, I think, because I've always liked to direct. I always wanted to direct, you know, but it's... actually directing these videos, you know, with a whole crew, like for real, it put me on the other side of it, and I was able to write these treatments and actually see them come to life and see these artists turn into superstars. And you know, it's a whole thing going on right now. There's a whole. It's about to be distributed. It's a whole thing. It's about to happen.
So where can people find it? Because then you have a YouTube channel. Is it going to be like
yes? I mean, right now you can check it out on if you go to the Downbeat, you can go to my Facebook page.
Yep.
And there's you can go to the Downbeat Project Facebook page. Everything's hashtagged right now. The Downbeat Project.
Okay.
The Downbeat Volume 1. The first single is Woozy. Which is Dom featuring Dom.
Which we heard at the beginning of this interview.
Dom B and Johnny Erasmus, who is dancing on tour right now with Justin Bieber. He has his whole situation going on. But that's the first single out. The next one's about to drop July 8th.
All right.
With another two artists, another two surprises. But yeah, check it out.
What was your biggest challenge in doing this? Because there's always, you know, you start doing this and you're like, this is great. And then all of a sudden you hit that brick wall and you're like, whoa.
Money. No, because you know, I want it to be real. It's got to be proper. I'm a Virgo too, so we got to have it perfect. So the challenges, I think, was really just about making everything look and sound exactly what it needs to sound like, and on the level that everybody's on.
Yeah.
Like I can't wait for Janet to hear this. I can't, because nobody knows that we've been doing this. Can't wait for Puff and them to hear. You know.
Yeah. Share. Your...
I can't wait. I could have gone to them a long time ago and been like. You know, because I've had dealings with Puff on music before, but I didn't. Anyway, I'm excited about it.
Now you're ready to deliver your baby to him.
Oh my gosh, it's about to be a problem. It's about to be a problem.
So many problems. So many good problems, which we love. For you, because I think you've really reached an incredible level as an artist. What is that dream project that you have yet to do that's still up there and you're like, I'm going to do it?
I think it's a certain dance movie. I don't know.
Would you direct or choreograph or both?
Both.
Oh, I love that.
Both. Because, you know, I mean, it's been so many years now, and a lot of artists that I wanted to work with, I got to work with them. A lot of people that I wanted to, after I do that, I'm quitting. You know, I've worked with a lot of those people. So I think right now it's that movie or that project that's going to change the world. That's gonna bring something new to the industry. That's what I wanna.
I love dance movies too.
Yeah,
there's such a great market for them. People love them.
They never die.
They never die. They're on Netflix. Like, you can go up through all the Step Up movies.
Yeah, even the worst ones are still there. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a thing.
Yeah, it is. There's some. I just watched. This is so bad. Deadly Dance Mom, which must have been like a Lifetime. Like,
I saw that. Did you see it?
It's on like Amazon, you guys, and it stars like Beverly Mitchell from Seventh Heaven. But I think it's based off of like Dance Moms Gone Wrong kind of thing.
Got you.
But it had me for 90 minutes. I was there. And so
I need to check this out.
I know. I'm going to be like Deadly Dance Mom on Amazon. It's free with Prime. So
there we go.
But that's the thing. I mean, if I'm willing to watch the most absurd dance movie, when I get to the great quality stuff like Step Up, I'm like, I'm all in. Well, I would love to see that. I mean, that's definitely something. You know, I always love seeing like the next dance movie that's sort of like gripping us all. And
yeah, man, because I think there's still a certain dance movie that hasn't been out there yet, and I want to be a part of that.
It always seems to be sort of like the West Side Story, like two people from opposite sides of the track coming together. So, what's the dance movie we haven't seen? Do you know?
I think it's. one that's a lot more soulful. Mm. It's been a lot of very poppy dance movies. But I think one that has a little bit of, it's a little dark.
Yeah.
A little dark, but a little bit more gritty and soulful.
A little more edge.
A little more edge.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, and I think probably a little bit more realistic, because when we hear stories of like how dance saved people.
Like that.
Yeah.
I want to do that one.
Okay, I'll write it and then you direct and choreograph.
Let's go. I'm going to do that and then we'll do the soundtrack for it and everything. We got it.
And we'll come up with a better name than Deadly Dance Mom.
That's everything to me. Deadly Dancer.
Deadly Dancer. Dun dun. It's a horror movie.
Come on, let's do it.
Let's do it. It was conceived right here to the point.
Y'all remember that. Remember that. Come on.
Oh my gosh. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me today, because it just really is a thrill, because I love your work.
Thank you.
I'm really excited now that I know how excited you are about season 14.
Oh, I'm still thinking about the...
Yes. Okay. And let me just kind of clue everyone in terms of like what was happening before it went on air. He's like, that's a problem. And he means like, not like a problem. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah, it's a situation
with, like,
for sure.
Yeah. Like, this person. This is an exciting season.
It's going to be a dope season. Like, I'm just looking at all the trouble that's about to go on.
Because
everybody's a performer.
I want to be a fly in that.
Jeez.
And he kept on going, yep. And then he goes, I have sound effects to all this. I mean, as we're talking about it and watching a couple of the audition videos, which you guys have seen, and they are contenders. So
yeah, I be making sounds when I watch clips.
You're like, yes.
I'm like, ooh, I'm here to beat, and I be making sounds to the beat. And I'm like, ooh, yeah. Every time you do something hot, something comes out of me, you know?
Yeah.
That's dope.
So I'm going to be a fly in the wall. I'm going to be like, where are you rehearsing? Let me sneak in. No, I'll be backstage. So I will definitely be backstage for the live shows and hopefully be getting your feedback on the other end after you appear. So
for sure.
Yes.
For sure.
Oh, well, thank you so much for coming here. Let us know where everyone can find you. Twitter, Instagram.
Yes. Instagram, LUUDADDY.
Lou Daddy.
Twitter is at Lou Brown, LUBROWN. Facebook is Luther Brown. Woozy, check it out. It's on iTunes. It's on everything, Spotify, blah, 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 blah. It's on everything. Woozy Dom B featuring Jay Blaze. Let's
here
do
it. Is.
Come on.
Hey. I love this. And you guys, I just want to let you know that next week's guest will be Dancing with the Stars cast member, Brittany Cherry. She'll be here
in studio.
Yeah, we haven't done a little Dancing with the Stars.
Come on.
It'll be great to have her in studio. You guys, thank you for all of your support with To The Point. I so appreciate it. Keep the word spreading out there. And if you have any follow-up questions about what you heard today, hit me up with them on Twitter, because then I will follow up with Lou just to make sure we get the facts, as I like to say, not the fake stories.
Yes, no fake news.
No fake news. We are all real here. All right, you guys, thank you so much for joining us here. Dance Network presents To The Point with Kristen Burt on Popcorn Talk.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.